Hi, this is David Russell. Welcome to episode 21 of the No Bad Bosses podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Dave's Charm School. So do you have those service people that go on site and they don't talk to anybody and they leave and then you have clients complain, you were here? I didn't even know you were here. Or do you have the people that in your office cause unnecessary drama? They need soft skills training. People don't show up on your doorstep with soft skills as a strength. You have to train it. So visit managetowin.com/charmschool to learn more. Low cost, high impact, great value. My guest today is me. Unfortunately, we had a last minute cancellation. The person rescheduled. They'll be back with us. That's fine. And what I talked about is, what do you do if you have a bad boss? As a bad boss who's your partner, bad boss who's an executive, a bad boss who's your direct manager. I hope you enjoy it. I think we had some fun. There's some good tips here. Here we go. What podcast number is this? Woo! 21, I'm legal of age. Okay. Thank you. Hello, this is David Russell. Welcome to episode 21 of the No Bad Bosses podcast. Woohoo! I'm legal. I'm of age. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we had a last minute cancellation. The person is going to be coming back. I don't want to mention their name. It just happens sometimes, busy leaders. So we're going to talk today about no bad bosses. What do you do if you have a bad boss? Bad boss button here. See? Boop, boop, boop. No bad bosses. Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about three types of bad bosses that many of us, now I've had a 44-year career. If you start back to when I was 16 years old, filling my full-size pickup truck with clippings, cutting trees and stuff like that, bringing it to the dump. But so 44 years, I've had bad bosses. And I want to talk to you, what do you do when you're in that situation? Now I'm going to talk about three different types of bad bosses. The first is a bad quote unquote partner. The second is when you've got a bad boss who is the executive. So it's not your direct manager, but is the executive. And then the third is when they're a direct manager of yours. So, you know, this is not easy. We get in these positions and you don't hear people talk about it much unless they're stuck in that position. So let me give you some thoughts, some ideas that I've learned. And I haven't always made the best choice, okay? But let me give you some different ideas. Some of these will be my stories, some of them from other people, but I'm not going to mention any names. So let's talk about that first person, the bad partner, okay? Because many of you are bosses. And so what I want to do is I want to address that first. What do you do if you're in a partnership? First of all, you get into a partnership, it's 50-50 a lot of times because you go in with what they would call rose-colored glasses. You think everything's going to be wonderful. And then lo and behold, it's not. So what do you do? So I know a guy who had a business and he got into a partnership with someone, said, you know, I can cover this part of the business. I'll be wonderful. I'll do the operations side. I can do this. You can trust me, that type of thing. And there was an issue. There was an integrity issue. Now, there weren't any laws violated, but there were certainly some integrity nuances that were being violated. And that came up and it troubled the other person, you know, my friend, but it didn't trouble him enough to actually end the partnership because this other guy said, hey, I'll take care of everything. You can trust me. It'll work long term. We're good. We're solid. But it didn't work out that way. So he allowed this other partner to make some bad decisions and put the company deeply in debt, and then it blew apart. Because usually when you have someone who lacks integrity, there's also a gap in their competence. So you're dealing with incompetence and lack of integrity, and that's not adding up to something that's gonna work out long-term. So if you're in a partnership and you have a partner who lacks integrity, that's a problem. I'm going to come back to what to do in a moment. Let me cover a couple other scenarios. So now you also might have a situation where there's an ego issue. All right. You think your partner has an ego problem. All right. They're tough. They won't listen to your suggestions or your demands or whatever it is. So you think the problem's with my partner. They're not listening to me. They won't do what I say. I'm right, blah, blah, blah. So that's an issue. So I actually had a client where they were in a 50-50 partnership and they were butting heads and it was not working. What do you do in that situation? What I did was I helped them assess, okay, what are the core strengths of each partner? And this was a managed service provider. And what we decided to do, which just made sense, was we had one person drive the company and drive the technical team. And then we had the other person who was really good at sales. And we had that person just drive the sales. Okay. So that was where the core strengths laid. And so we got them aligned doing that. We took the guy who was driving sales, removed him from management because management just wasn't his forte. But he could drive in millions of dollars of sales with an assistant. And by doing that, very effective, very successful, they were able to respect each other's strengths and move on. So one of the things you need to do in that situation is really take a step back. You need to first, quite frankly, look at your ego. You're accusing them. Remember the old thing, you're pointing the finger at somebody, you still got three fingers pointing back at you. First thing you got to do is hold yourself to the same standards and say, okay, is this a problem for me? And do I need to make some changes? And then also work with the other person and find common ground. It helps even get a third party involved that both people feel will come in without a bias and really just focus on how do we make this work? So that's really what you need to do. Take a step back, kind of assess, reflect. Get somebody involved who doesn't have a bias and can help you identify strengths and move from there. Now, you may also have a competence problem in those situations too, but you know, you got to work through it and find out where that is and remove them. Now, I also had another client, 50-50 partnership. And by the way, no shotgun clause. If you haven't read my blog post on a shotgun clause, it's basically something that says at any time, one partner can come to the other partner and say, hey, I want to buy you out and I'll pay you X per share. And this is a time frame, that type of thing. The partner who receives that offer can say, hey, awesome, done deal. That's a fair price, or that's, you know, higher than I would pay. Of course, probably wouldn't say that. And I'll accept that. Or if the partner receiving the offer says, wow, that's not enough. Well, great. Then that partner can buy the offering partner out under the same terms and conditions. So it eliminates all the arguments and the legal battles on value. Okay, it makes it real simple. You think it's too low, you buy them out. You think it's too high or okay, you accept and you move on. There's always other opportunities. But we had this this other partnership, two guys, really nice guys, okay? But one guy, very competent, leader, driver, really, really a very competent guy. The other guy, quite frankly, although brilliant at times, not competent. Not competent in his role. And not only that, he would bring down other people, caused all types of unnecessary drama and political havoc, upset employees, low productivity, just the way he worked. I mean, basically the guy had some wounds, hadn't resolved them in his life, and was just unproductive. Nice guy. Okay. So my advice to this partner who was productive, who wanted to buy the other one out, but the other one didn't want to be bought out, and they had no agreement to facilitate that, was I said, well, look, you'd do better paying this guy his full salary, which was six figures, just over six figures. And just have him not come to work rather than, you know, have the guy in here causing problems all day long. That's not helping you at all. So that's eventually kind of what he shifted to. And then eventually he was able to buy him out. But so you've got to address when you go through this strengths, weaknesses, things, when you have an issue with the partnership, first of all, you got to look at yourself. You got to be realistic. And in this particular case, this partner was realistic. He looked at where he's strong. He looked at where he's weak. He got some help where he was weak. He got some help in, you know, focusing more on his strengths. And now he owns 100% of the business. It's very successful. It's thriving. He's doing great. But then he also had to look realistically at his partner and figure out, how do I work my way out of this? And that took a few years. But, you know, both of them are better off with the situation where it is today. So I want to talk to you. One of the things I didn't mention in each of these three stories that's really critical is that if you remember Dr. Henry Cloud's book, Never Go Back, that I mentioned from time to time, his book, the whole premise of the book was that based on his work with business executives, he feels that the successful people make a mistake, they go, ow, that hurt, I'm not going to do that again. And the unsuccessful people make a mistake, they go, ow, and then they forget about it and they repeat it again and again. So what I want to emphasize to you is, when you have a problem with a quote unquote bad boss, it can be incompetence, lack of character, you know, they're really nice people, but they're just not a good boss, or they're evil. I mean, any of these. The first thing you got to do is go back to three strands leadership that I teach. Remember, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's how you advance your way up the mountain, like rock climbing. Okay. You take that rope, you go rock to rock, ledge to ledge. The first strand of three strands leadership is systematic power. So I encourage you, look at the system that you followed to get into that partnership. And by the way, this will follow with the other types of bosses too. Is look at the system that you followed to have join a company that had an executive who is a bad boss, or a direct manager who is a bad boss. Were you systematic in evaluating the partnership or the boss, or were you too emotional? Did you just jump in, you know, you thought everything was going to be wonderful, you're in this dating sequence. If you remember back, Rob Betzel was with me on No Bad Bosses podcast earlier. And he talked about doing acquisitions. And do you remember how long he said he went through as a process to make certain they were past those rose-colored glasses, nice thoughts, but really getting real with the person he wanted to acquire? Will this person work? Is the business value there? Remember the time frame? 6 months was a minimum time frame. Remember I had John Pearson and Mike Pate on talking about boards. How long did John Pearson want you to date a board member before you actually get them involved? 12 to 18 months. So when you're talking about a partnership with someone else, there's a lot of nuances there, but you really need to get to know the other person before you get in. What is your system? Systematic power is the key. What is your system for evaluating the partnership and being real about it? Not just jumping in because you think it's going to work or it sounds like it'll be nice type of thing, but really, really be sure this is going to work. So as you're in this situation, partnership's not working, take a step back. Did I follow the right system getting into the partnership? Because I'll probably get into other partnerships. Certainly, it might just be business to business partnerships, but I need to have a better system if I'm in this situation now. What happened? Okay. So that's critical. The other two strands and three strands leadership, by the way, are meaningful work is the second strand. You want to be engaged in work that's fulfilling to you. And number three, sincere gratitude. So you want to be expressing sincere gratitude to others that you value them. But the main thing here when we're talking about bad bosses that I want to emphasize, what was your system to get into this situation? Because you've got a flawed system, too emotional, don't want to be there again. Now, first thing you heard me say, you're in this partnership not working, you got to assess yourself. Second thing is character. Is your partner a person of character? Do they have integrity? So this is really important. If they don't have integrity, then you've got a major problem on your hands. And if you push that off, the liability goes up and up and up. So my friend of mine who didn't deal with that with a partner who had some integrity issues, I mean, it ended up to be, I think it was $1.5 million, $2 million liability when it all came down. And at the beginning, when the partnership started, of course, there was no liability. That's a lot. Okay. You don't want to be there. So if you got an integrity issue, you got to look at it and you got to figure out, okay, how do I get out of this partnership? Either this person has to go, or quite frankly, you need to go. You may take a hit, you may leave something, but when you leave the partnership, make certain you have eliminated any opportunity for that partnership to assign liability to you if you've got someone who lacks integrity. Quite frankly, even if you have someone who's nice or seems to be a person of integrity, when you leave a partnership, you don't want to leave an open-ended liability there, but particularly important when they've got character issues. If you have a situation with a partner that's not working and you don't know who to talk to, I mean, just call me. I mean, well, they'll call me because my phone line's usually busy or I'm here doing the podcast. But, you know, text me, email me, whatever. Say, hey, can I just use you as a sounding board? I typically, in my emails, I have a link. You can sign up for a 15-minute, 25-minute, 50-minute call. No charge. Let's just talk about it. See if there's something you need to do, whether with yourself or with them. Now, what if they're incompetent or they're in the wrong role? They've got the wrong responsibilities. I talked to you about those situations too. So what you need to do is, as I mentioned, assess people's strengths. Take a look. If they're people of integrity, if there is something there and you think it can possibly work, well, let's find out what that is. So first of all, you got to assess strengths. Whether you use our talent assessments or you find another way, you really have to be realistic. What are my strengths? What are the partner's strengths? Maybe you have more partners than one. You might have too many cooks in the kitchen, by the way. That might be another issue. But if you got that situation, let's say, what are my strengths? Okay, where do I go or grow from here? Where does this person go or grow? You've got to set plans in place for yourself and the partner and hold both of you accountable as you move forward. Now, this might be your own, you know, you're doing self-accountability with yourself. The partner is on more of a performance improvement plan. Maybe that's formal, maybe it's not. But you need to set some metrics that's, okay, if this is going to work, this is what we're going to try. Don't make the mistake of saying, from now on, it's going to be this way. You don't know. So let's pilot something, a month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. Let's pilot something. As long as it's working, we continue the pilot. If it's not working, we end the pilot. If it does work for a period of time, 3 months, 6 months, hey, we got something that works. Let's move in. Remember the 50-50 partnership I told you about, the one where, you know, ego or seemingly incompetence. It really wasn't incompetence. You know, people's roles weren't clearly defined in the partnership. And once they got defined, they were awesome. They're great. They're doing fantastic. So that's really what you need to do. You may have to remove one of you from management. You know, sometimes it often is a sales role, but I know another partnership where one partner, it really just does tech work, okay? And that's what he's fantastic at. So he just does the high-end tech work. And the other guy runs the company and runs the sales. So, you know, whatever that area is where a partner can add value, have them add value there. And, you know, I have advised people, I just say, hey, you're in the partnership. You don't have a way out of the partnership. So what you need to do, you need to separate it. You got two things going on. One is you've got an investor. That's your partner. Okay. You're both investors in the company. That's one piece. So both of you make money when the company makes money. The second thing is each of you have a job or a career with the company. And you've got to get the job or the career aligned properly so that works. If you can't, then one of you needs to shift or leave the company. It doesn't mean you lose the investor part, okay? But, you know, you maybe don't have the job part or the career part. All right, so that's the partner piece. That's some quick tips. I hope that's helpful. They've been learned painfully by myself and with other clients. Let's shift and let's talk about, okay, you join a company and then you find out that this company that you believed in, and there are executives whom you believed in, and you join and then you find out, whoa, person's not what I thought. So I know a guy, he joined a company. And by the way, he was choosing between two companies. So we had these two job offers at the same time. One of them was by a software company, looked really attractive, wanted to go in the software industry. The other was from another company. And he chose the other company, not the software company, because he really believed in the owner of the company, the executive of the company. He thought, this guy's a great guy. He's going to be supportive of my family, which I need right now in my life. I got young kids. And I think the other company is going to grind me into the ground. So I'm going to join because I believe in the integrity of this guy and he's going to be supportive of me. Do I report to him directly? No, I do not. But that's going to influence, you know, how I do my work. So he's there on the first day of the job and the VP he reports to gets him started about 11 a.m. in the morning. The VP says, hey, I got to go on a trip, business trip. I'll see you in a few days. Takes off. A few minutes later, a woman who worked in another part of the company but was a friend of the VP walked out to my friend and said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? They walked outside and she said, I don't think you're aware of this, but the owner of the company and a woman in the company are a thing. And you need to be aware of that politically in the company. And my friend was like, what? And almost fell over. Just could not believe it because he joined the company based on the integrity of this guy. And apparently in most areas of this executive, this owner's life, man of integrity. But in this one area, for whatever, you know, reason, I don't know, you know, what the situation was, whether it was known to his wife or not, but had this thing going with, you know, had an affair going with somebody in the company and everybody knew about it, except maybe the guy's wife. And I don't know. So it was different. Really floored my friend. Didn't know what to do. Had him spin. It's just like, oh man, can I go back to the other company, get that job? No, I can't do that because he was really angry at him when he said he wasn't going to take the job. He got really angry. So it was a tough situation. What do you do then if the person, you know, lacks integrity in an area or in several areas? By the way, there's usually incompetence involved in that too. But, you know, they may be highly competent in many areas. So that's a challenge. What do you do if there's an ego issue with an executive of the company? You may not report to him directly, but what do you do about that? So I had that happen with a client at one point. A client had some employees and the owner of the company wasn't really a man of integrity in the way that he worked with employees. So what does that mean? Well, what it meant in this case was he had one standard for his employees, which was way up here. And then he had another standard, which was lower for himself. So he was demanding certain things of employees, not living by those standards himself. He would complain about something, the employees would correct it, and then he'd say, that doesn't matter. Very toxic environment, not good. So you have to decide, you know, what can I do here? And then lastly, what about if you have totally incompetent management? So I know a guy who joined a company and for 3 years running, the senior executives who ran that company, you know, the company lost $1 million a year, but, you know, they were owned by a larger company in this particular division. They still kept the same leaders in place. They'd cut some other employees or do this or that, but they never changed the leadership. It was really weird. So my guy was like, wow, this doesn't make sense, you know? So what do you do in these situations? What do you do when you have a situation where the executive of the company, you don't directly interact with them, but they clearly lack integrity in some areas, or you've got an executive of a company who is incompetent and maybe egocentric. They got double standards, one standard for them, totally different standard for the employees, which of course is much higher. Or you've got the incompetent executives. Well, I think what you need to do, once again, look at three strands leadership. The first strand, systematic power. How did you get into that situation? Were you systematic in making that decision? Because you're going to make similar decisions in the future and you want to learn from it and avoid a mistake in the future. So you want to apply that. So that's the first thing. Then I would suggest you look at, okay, these people got issues or this person has issues, but that's their issues and they don't really care what I have to say. So can I grow in this position? Now, if you're in a situation where the company is doing something illegal or unethical, don't stay, because that's going to stain your career. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a ball and chain you're going to have to carry. But if you look at it and it's more incompetence, then look at it and say, okay, well, what can I learn from this? If I look at my career, how long do I want to stay here? What can I achieve here? How can I grow? Am I being paid enough to go through this type of thing? And, you know, if I can do my job with integrity, you know, it might make sense to stay there a while. Even if the executive's got some issues, there's things to learn. There's ways to grow. Maybe the company has, you know, some learning opportunities that are unique. It has some freedom for you that if you're hitting your metrics, you get a lot of freedom. And I know that was the situation with that one where the executive was having the affair with somebody in the company. My friend had tremendous freedom as long as he hit his metrics. He was in a sales position. As long as he hit his metrics, he had a lot of freedom, a lot of support. So he did that, you know, was there for 3-4 years. And it was a good part of his career. Learned a lot. Other people were great on the team. And, you know, the rest of the company operated ethically. So it was great. So it worked out. So you need to figure that out. But my recommendation is have a plan, have an exit strategy. Where do you want to drive to? What's your destination? In my conversations with my friend in that situation with the executive who lacked integrity, was having the affair, that was one thing he was missing. You know, he made it work for a while. But then when something else happened that affected him personally, ethically, that he felt was a violation, he quit abruptly. And that was a mistake. You want to have an exit plan. You want to have a strategy. You want to work on that. You don't want to quit and then figure out what your next bold move type of thing. You want to figure that out in advance. I wish this was back and forth, not just a podcast. I wish we could be talking this through. But anyway, just like I would coach an owner on having an exit strategy, if you're in a situation where it's not going to work, either because of integrity issues or incompetence, then figure out your game plan, work the game plan, and make it happen. It may be short term, maybe long term, whatever. Have some flexibility in it so you got some time frame. Look at it as a learning experience. Make certain you're holding yourself to the same standards that you're demanding of others. Okay? That's really important. Now, let me just cover this last piece and we'll wrap up. So what about bad boss? All right, bad boss, right? I got my button, bad boss. Here we go, I'm showing my button, the bad, no bad bosses button. And that bad boss is your direct manager. That's tougher because now you've got someone who you have to interact with regularly and that person is going to hold you accountable. So I had a friend once and my earpiece keeps coming out because I keep leaning into the mic and pulling it out. So you have a bad boss who's your direct manager. That's more difficult. If they're incompetent, that's one piece. If they lack integrity, that's another piece. I do know a guy who was in that situation. He became a sales manager for a company. The boss was someone who was totally dysfunctional as a leader. And my friend needed the job. So he stayed there a year, did the best he could under the circumstances, but the boss also lacked integrity and the combination was really toxic. So he needed an exit strategy. He worked an exit strategy and got out of there, but it took longer than I think ideally. Going in there, he should have tried to work at more a 3 to 6 month time frame when things became apparent. So you just can't stay a long time if your direct boss is someone you know you can't count on. My friend had a fair amount of flexibility, so it made it livable, but it's not where you want to be. It's not going to work out. So next thing, what about, you know, if there's an ego issue or they're partially incompetent? Aren't we all partially incompetent, partially dysfunctional, right? Is there any family that's not partially dysfunctional? So once again, you got to look at how you assessed the opportunity before you accepted it. If this is your direct boss, I mean, you must have interviewed with them. The best people that I interview are the people that ask me a lot of questions. They're clearly interested in the opportunity, but they want to make certain it's a fit. So remember, when you're interviewing, it's not just you selling them. You need to also be qualifying them, interviewing them, confirming this is somebody you can trust. You need to do the online search they did of you. When you're looking at your boss's Facebook page, if they have one, what are they posting? What are their friends posting? When you look at the way they write up their LinkedIn profile, is it a big ego boost? Or is this something where, you know, with some humility, they're talking about the strength of their company, the strength of their team, that type of thing. So you need to also be qualifying them, you know, almost hiring them. Reverse the process. So if you got ego issues, minor incompetence, you know, you got to figure out how you're going to work around that. If there's people that are just really egomaniacs, then typically they have different standards for you than for themselves. It's going to be very uncomfortable. What about the total incompetence? My experience with the total incompetence is it's all dependent on how they interact with you. So if you have, and I'm thinking across clients and I'm thinking across also my own experience. So let me jump through a couple of examples. So one, I had an incompetent boss, nicest guy in the world, okay? But totally incompetent as a manager, totally incompetent. But he gave me total flexibility to do what I needed to do. I was reasonably paid. I was advancing my career. I was learning things. I was in an industry I wanted to be in. So for me, it worked. And it was, you know, a positive thing. He wasn't mean in any way, shape, or form. Nicest guy in the world, but just not competent. So it can work if they're incompetent and you still can be a person of integrity and go achieve meaningful metrics to make things happen. I think of one client who didn't work out for me, nice guy, once again, but totally incompetent as a leader, and possibly one of the poorest leaders I've ever met. He shouldn't be in leadership, but he had his own company. And he was just extremely inconsistent with his people, inconsistent with communication, inconsistent with follow-up, in fact, didn't follow up, just terrible, didn't know how to set boundaries and enforce those boundaries. So if you have a boss like that, once again, you need to step back. How did I get into this situation? Was I just desperate for a job? And so I knew it was going to be bad, but I went in anyway. That's very dangerous. You don't want to be in that situation. That's why you want to plan the career, plan the moves. But you need to look at it. How much leeway will I have to achieve meaningful work? So remember, three strands leadership, systematic power. What's my systems? Can I follow my systems? Can I follow best practices? Can I follow my systems for integrity? Meaningful work. Am I doing work that's personally fulfilling to me? Sincere gratitude. Will I be thankful? Will I want to get up in the morning and come to work? Can I be thankful for the people I work for? Can I be thankful for my clients? Can I be thankful for what I have? These are really critical. It's not just leadership skills when you're bossing other people, managing other people. Everyone should be a leader in an organization. I don't care what level you're at. I don't care how you define the lowest level, factory worker, receptionist, janitorial, whatever it might be, delivery person. Everyone is a leader. And the more you behave like a leader in your role, the more opportunities you have to advance and have more fun, have more fulfillment. So if you've got someone who's an incompetent boss, once again, look at yourself. How do I need to improve? Systematic power applies to how did I get in this situation? But now, how do I make this work or how do I exit? Eventually, how do I exit? Define your plan, work your plan, make it work. It doesn't have to be dead time in your career. Don't accept dead time in your career. Make it work. If the boss is incompetent or a bad boss and it's a direct manager and they're mean or they don't have integrity, then you got to make a career move. You have a short-term job, you don't have a long-term career. Lacking integrity, lacking character, get out of there as fast as you can, but don't jump from the frying pan into the fire. learn from the experience, be systematic going into your next position, because you want to make the most of your career. All of you have worked long enough, because I don't have any newbies that really listen to my talks. You've worked long enough where you can look back on the last 5 years, the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you're smart enough to realize, oh, I can't relive 2005 to 2010. What would I have done differently? Okay. You should have already thought of that and applied that. If you haven't developed that habit, develop it now. Please, I beg you, develop it now. Because 2017, we're almost half the way through. All right. We're in June. We're almost half the way through. Are you where you want to be? Have you accomplished what you want to accomplish? If not, stop procrastinating. Do something about it. Get on the phone with somebody you trust. Use them as a sounding board. Define a plan. Maybe I'm not where I want to be right now, but in the next 6 months, doggone it, I'm going to get there. I'm going to learn to say no to things that I shouldn't be doing. I'm going to learn to better schedule my time. If every week you've got unmet things, things you schedule, they're not done. I mean, the warning buzzer should be go off. Wah, wah, wah. Come on. I mean, so we've got six more months in the year. How are you going to really make this awesome? Not just for yourself, but for others. Because when you're not fully operating at your maximum speed, your maximum capacity, playing to your strengths, then you're not doing your best for others either. So it's better to cut back and get more out of it than to be spread too thin or make these mistakes or be with a bad boss, direct manager level, executive level, or a partner, and you're stuck. You got a plan, you got to work through it, you got to get past it. Hey, that's part of life, you know? We got hills and valleys. You'll make it through. The best is yet to come. I thoroughly believe that. I'm 60 years old. I think the best is yet to come. I'm telling myself 60 is the new 30, all right? But I worked 11 hours in the yard filling a 12-foot trailer four times on Saturday. I don't know whether 60 is the new 30. But when it comes to leadership, it is. Okay? I'm applying more of what I know now than ever before. It took me a little longer than hopefully it'll take some of you. But hey, if you've got a bad boss, assess how you got there, develop a plan, work through it. If it can improve, great. That's fantastic. If it can improve, then work the plan to make the most of it and exit. And I think that's our podcast for today. Next week, got a great guest coming on. Hope you join us. Thanks for being here. Send any feedback in if you want. Would love to hear from you. And I hope you're having a great week. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. I really tried to share some insights as I thought of what does it mean if you're stuck with a bad boss, whether that's a partner, an executive in your organization, or your direct manager. I think there's some good tips there. I hope you enjoyed it. My guest next week is Chris Chow of Centerpoint IT. I think you're going to get some great tips from him. I hear he is a phenomenal leader. So I'll see you then.